You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
When you fall out.
Don't hurt yourself, indeed. Welcome, Fanboy Versus. I am your host, J.D., joined this week by the full crew, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, Chris McFeely. Please take a drink. Yes, we are all here.
All right.
So, it won't be the last time you take a drink.
No, but you won't get to next week either, because Nicole will be gone.
Yeah, I'm going to visit the family for the holiday.
Oh, so. Very nice. So, it is Fanboy Versus the Massive Week, as apparently we all got a ton of comics this week, and I had trouble getting through them.
I have more comics than I can ever read in like a lifetime. It's crazy.
Literally,
I need to drop some books, like, post-haste.
No. You have to pick up Scarlet Spider. Okay.
No, I don't have time or money to buy Scarlet Spider.
Yes, you do.
All right. So, no, I had to...
JD.
I know it's not. No one likes... See, I... No, it doesn't work for me.
Hey, that book sounds awesome, and that's why I think you should keep getting it, and you should keep telling us about it.
Oh, okay, I see. Thanks. That sounds good.
Yeah.
No, I'm still not caught up from, like, my week of BotCon. I'm one of those people that... If I stay caught up, I'm good. Like, I can keep that pace going. As soon as I get behind, like, chaos ensues and, you know, the world rupture open. I got all the way caught up on all my shows, and what happened? I've now fallen behind again. And
I'm so behind on Avengers and Captain America that quite literally Captain America could be dead again, and I wouldn't even know it.
See?
You know? So,
but I had to split it up in two stacks. Like, all right, this is priority. You have to read this. And this is like... cool stuff that you can get to, you know. And so, like, I split it up and then finally got through everything I absolutely had to get through. And now I feel good about where I'm at. Caught up on AVX, caught up on Spider-Man stuff. So, that's good. That's good. So, yeah. This is a show. We'll try to do it.
So that means you got caught up on all your cartoons?
No.
You got caught.
No, I'm not caught up on cartoons yet. I did manage to watch the only show I have available for our recording tomorrow of Superhero Time, but of course I have to wait for the other episodes, and it's a real big pain. Anyway, so I got to tell a story real quick before we get into anything else. some of you may have known this on Twitter. This is the first place I get to tell this on a podcast for. Friday morning, I decided to take the morning off and, you know, from work and just kind of have a relaxing day, go around, buy some toys. And, so I left the house about 9 o'clock. I went to the Dollar General down the road because I was looking for Joe's for Brian mostly. Stopped there. Yeah, I got that Bumblebee too as well. Chris Triplett showed the yellow Bumblebee. I picked up the Starscream. Yeah, and I have the Megatron as well. Went there and then drove down to Sonic. I need that. Drove down to Sonic. Got a drink. Sitting there getting a drink, and my wife calls. Okay, I'm like, hey, honey, how's it going? She's like, where are you? And I'm like, you always be concerned if your wife is like saying, where are you? You know, because it's like, you're in trouble, something go wrong, you know? And, I said, well, I'm at Sonic. And she's like, okay, I just got a call from the dentist's office and the police are at our house and they said that we've been broken into.
Oh, I heard about this.
And I'm like, I haven't been gone like 20 minutes. So I get my order, and I turn around, I go back to the house, I'm pulling down the street to my house, and there's literally like 5 cop cars lined up all the way around the street. They've got one car stopped, and I can see my wife's jewelry box on top of the car. Pull up, talk to the cops, you know, so, you know, after about 20 minutes or so go by, you know, talking to the cops, and I come to find out, this dude must have seen me leave my house. comes up, rings the doorbell. Of course, no one's home. My neighbor across the street sees him ring the doorbell and then walk around the house. She immediately calls 911. He goes around the back of our house, busts out the window in our bedroom, which my other neighbor heard, and she called 911. He breaks in through the house, grabbed a bunch of my wife's jewelry, threw in a jewelry box, ripped my PS3 out, grabbed my wife's laptop, and about that time must have heard the cop cars wailing because there were five officers on patrol in my neighborhood at the time and nothing else to do apparently, which is awesome. They chase the guy down to the car that he's trying to run to, arrest him. Turns out it's him and his mom was driving the car. He's like 20. His mom was driving the car.
So it's a family business.
So, right? Yeah, family thing. But they arrest the guy. Laptop was fine. My PS3 is busted, so that's going to be a loss. It was like, I don't know, $175 to replace the window. Long story short, we got robbed, but when we went to bed that night, everything was like back to normal. It was the weirdest freaking thing ever. Because, you know, statistics, and anybody knows, statistics are that if you get robbed, like no one, you know, they don't get caught, basically. You lose your stuff, and they don't get caught. But I happen to live in a neighborhood with a lot of older people, and it's the one time where I'm, like, glad that I've got nosy old neighbors. Because, like, we went and talked to the lady across the street afterwards, and, you know, she's wording off all these details and stuff, like, she knows about us, and we've never talked to her. And she's like, well, we're not nosy. I'm like, oh, no, it's cool. but it's like the one time I was like really thankful that we had nosy neighbors, because as soon as they saw the weird guy in the neighborhood, they immediately called the cops. It was awesome. So it's kind of weird. Yeah. You know, I think it's weird. My wife and I have said too, it's like, I think most people in a situation would be like really freaked out after it, you know, and feel unsafe. But I think the fact that the dude got caught, and that, you know, so little was taken and we got everything back.
And they didn't hurt your cats.
Oh my God. Well, that's the other thing. I could not find the cats. And of course the guy went out of the house the most difficult way, which is he went through the kitchen out to the garage, and then there's a side garage door. But we have in front of the door on our side, we had like boxes and stuff stacked in front of the door. So he had to pull the boxes out of the way to get out the door. Then on the other side of the door, there was a large cement concrete block that was like in front of the door on the outside, which he had to push out of the way to get out. Yeah. So we don't intend anybody to use that door. We never used that door. So we had intentionally blocked it off, really. So it was a real pain for him to get out. He went out the most difficult way, and it probably helped delay him a little bit. But no, so that door had been open, and the cops had been in and out of the house, and I could not find the cats. And they're like, well, we didn't see any cats. So I'm like running around the house, could not find the cats. And finally I thought, okay, so I went and got the treat bag and shook the treat bag, and they came out from under our bed. They'd been hiding under our bed.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was like the one point I like broke down, because I was like, of everything, it's like, I can replace the computer, the laptop, you know, my wife's jewelry, most of that's irreplaceable, but still it's like our cats.
Well, insurance will take care of that, but insurance won't take care of
Yeah, for the most part. Pets. Yeah. But the pets, you know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry. I just, you know, I know that some people had heard me say a few things on Twitter, and I probably thought this was an easier venue to get the whole story out.
I'm glad they didn't take much, but man, I'm sorry it happened.
Oh yeah,
that
no,
sucks. That's your PS3.
Hey, no, and that's the thing is, like, we were safe, we weren't home, you know, and so, you know, that, I mean, it was really the best of all possible scenarios. You know, to be, you know, like, and that's why I say, I think in most situations, you know, people would feel really, and I do feel a little violated, but not like as bad as I would if that person was still out there, you know?
So you don't feel like you have this need to wage war on crime and take on the shape of a bat, is what you're saying?
Not yet. No, I'm not there yet. So okay. Nifty idea though. I think you're on to something.
I had to bring it back to comics.
So I know. You know exactly. Right. Cause that would be the thing. Like, oh man, I was broken. That'd be like, that's like Shadowhawk almost, isn't it? Right.
Like, how you going to break through spies.
Well, I guess that's not like Shadowhawk at all. He was mugged, wasn't he? I think that was his thing.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody cares about Shadowhawk.
Spines. They weren't imprisoned in cells. They were imprisoned in their own bodies. That's what I remember.
In Shadowhawk? What the hell?
Nobody cares. Mark Silvestri cares.
Hey, come on. I had the first issue. That's all I can say. Anyway, so there you go. There you go. That's a fun story for you. Anyway, I'm sorry. So, Christopher McFeely, please regale us with news that will probably be more exciting than my story.
I don't know, man. There's not a lot of news.
Okay, well, I took it up with my story.
Well, as far as least exciting things goes, we did see some promo footage from Arrow this week.
Oh, we did?
Did anybody see this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It doesn't look like the worst thing ever.
Oh, wow. Does it look like Sherwood?
It doesn't look like Smallville is what I was surprised
by. No. I still don't get what it is with DC's fascination with teen drama-ing up their projects. Mm-hmm. It's like the only way they can get them on television. But
I don't want to wait for
no, he didn't.
Huh? What?
What?
Sorry.
It didn't, the only clip I saw, I think there might have been one or two out there, but the one I saw was of Ollie, if they'll call him that in the show, or if they'll insist on calling him Oliver, since they seem to be trying to de-goofify and maturify everything with your Starling City and your Laurel Lance and just calling him Arrow. I don't know. But it was about him, like, seemed to be setting up his Arrow cave in a warehouse, you know?
I saw something talking about the islands. Apparently, they're still doing that.
They're doing that definitely. Well, like that's right. You weren't here last week, Triplett. When we were going through the summary. Yeah, they do the whole island thing, and it seems like his mother's evil. Like she was responsible for shipwrecking him there. Probably wants the family jewels or something. I don't know. And his best friend, his best buddy is Merlin. You know, the Black Archer. So they're Smallvilling that.
You mean literal gems?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I was trying to let you not make that insanely obvious joke, but you just punched it through anyway, didn't you?
Oedipus Rex is always it's like right there. So anyway,
I'm not gonna say what that says about you.
it was on Law and Order I watched today.
Well, it didn't look like the most heinous thing in the world. Dude is cut, though. Seriously.
Really?
He is.
I'll check it out.
He is ripped.
As soon as you said cut, Triple's like, I'm there.
I'll give it a fair try at least. I mean, for God's sake, I watched Smallville for like, what, 10 seasons?
Yeah.
I think I can get it. It's like one episode.
You really don't have rooms. I can't see how this could be worse. So, you know, you don't have much room for criticism.
I watched Smallville when Lex was on.
And it's not like Green Arrow has a massive roster of super baddies. That this is not a knock on the character, but I'm just saying that it's not like he has a giant roster of supervillains that the show will have to downgrade to boring real world status like Smallville did with all his bad guys.
Yeah.
But TV budget, low-grade versions of all of his supervillains who are never able to look like they're supposed to and have fight scenes that only last 5 seconds, you know.
He'll go the way of the Flash, where they, like, bring on a few of his villains and sort of real-world them, and then it just gets wacky.
I'll be honest with you.
I can't wait until they do an episode where Mark Hamill shows up as just some guy. Some villain. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Green Arrow villain. Just some villain.
Yeah, I don't know if Green Arrow has villains. I mean, he's got Merlin.
Yeah, he's got that guy. That's the only one I know.
Yep, that's as far as my knowledge.
Should do like Mantis and start doing like the time warps and dinosaurs and stuff. That'd be sweet too. Why don't we have a Mantis comic? What's up with that?
He's got that Kevin Smith villain. That dude. That Kevin Smith.
Oh, Onomatopoeia.
Yeah,
Onomatopoeia would totally not work on this.
He's technically a Green Arrow villain. He first appeared in his run.
Yeah, he's technically a Green Arrow,
they'll probably
would
do him.
Never work on it. I mean, even Kevin Smith has said he only works on the page.
So I know two of them now.
They'll probably screw him up enough to make him work in an audible medium.
Oh my god, how do you even do that?
I don't know, every time he punches him and go, just do things like that.
Oh my God, that would
maybe
be so.
Maybe I'll say punch or something.
That was Kevin Smith's whole point. He was like, you know, it's one of those things that on the page it seems really like menacing and odd, but in real life it would just be wacky.
See, that episode would just become like a 60s Batman show. It would just be an homage.
There you go. There you go. No, that would be the episode that you have to have Mark Hamill on, and you have him do. You have him play onomatopoeia.
That's Jacob.
Oh, my God. There we go. That's another free one for you, CW.
Get out of that. Well, that's about it as far as that goes. What else happened this week?
Did we get to the scene this week? Was that this week?
Avengers is now the fourth highest grossing film. It has dethroned Dark of the Moon, as we were chatting about last week. It has jumped up, what was it, five places? Was it ninth highest last week? I think it was. Mm-hmm. It has jumped up five places. It is now the highest grossing Disney film ever. So
Bambi.
It's just got...
Glad
just
your
got...
mama's dead.
You want to hear something? Okay, this is what I heard on the radio when they had one of their movie experts in. Because Avengers has done so well, and because Disney's John Carter flopped, guess what? You're going to get a sequel of John Carter now.
What? No way. Not in a bajillion years.
Because Avengers has saved the biggest flop in history.
No.
There is going to be a second John Carter.
No way. Not going to happen.
Yep.
Never, ever. No way. No one
would. They were saying this.
No, who said this?
I think they would at least wait to see the DVD returns on
who
John
said
Carter
that?
Before they go around
there's
commissioning
no a sequel.
Sequel
be called John Carter of Mars so people know what it's about.
Yeah,
so,
really.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Wait, who did you say said that, Nicole?
Huh?
Who did you say said that?
There was one of our it was one of the movie critics that was on a radio show here, so
radio critic guy in Utah.
But let me tell you, he's worked for Disney before, so that kind of gives him a little insight.
Oh, before
Disney, now he's doing local Utah.
Yeah,
radio.
Okay.
No, he's not local. He's not local.
No.
He was on a local radio show.
Oh, okay.
Coming on talk.
Still,
I agree with Don in the chat. He said that we'll get our Incredibles 2 before that happens. I agree with him.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Maybe.
We should get...
Just could make that happen.
We need an Incredibles Fantastic Four movie. Because that's doable now.
Freaking Pixar can make all my Marvel animated movies. Do it.
Well, Fox still own the Fantastic Four.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
They're about to lose it, though, aren't they, if they don't put a movie up?
They don't
quick.
Make another film, but that's why they're talking about doing a Fantastic Four reboot.
Well, that's what they'd have to do. But
yeah, they'll have to do another one. We also saw, I think it was this week, we saw a super preview of Amazing Spider-Man.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, well, there wasn't too much new in it, you know, but it was an extended thing, and a lizard in there throwing canisters of gas around. So
yeah,
He doesn't have a lab coat.
I don't care.
But he has a lab coat when he transforms. First time.
But does he keep the lab coat when he's done things?
Why would he?
He needs the lab coat.
Why would he need a lab coat? He doesn't have any junk.
What if he like accidentally changes back into Kurt Connors and he's like naked or something? He needs the lab coat.
I'm operating on the assumption that the gas he's spraying around in the trailers that we've seen him spraying around is probably evil mutant gas to mutate all of New York into Lizard Man. So, you know,
Why can't he just control a bunch of snakes? That's what I want. Attack! New York! Attack!
New York,
no.
Not known for its snakes, though.
No.
The alligators in the sewers! Attack!
There
alligators.
You go. That's more likely.
Let's see, the Kapow Con, Mark Miller's comic convention, was on this week in the UK. It was in the UK. Not a heck of a lot out of that, except for the news that a currently unidentified but allegedly major DC character sexual orientation is going to change.
Ooh.
Yes. Too gay, yes, just in case that wasn't obvious.
Oh, really? They're not going to suddenly make Batwoman straight, then, is what you're saying.
No, yeah, just to clarify, not that, yeah.
Okay. Because that would be a really abrupt, like, especially considering this past issue.
Turns out she has amnesia. She likes guys.
Right.
What else?
Did they say who? Do we have any idea?
No, it is just an established character. It is. Let me just get the read off the specific line here.
What is established these days? What does that even mean?
Didio stated they had changed DC's policy as regarding the changing of orientations like that, and are about to reintroduce a previously existing DC character who was previously straight and will now be one of our most prominent gay characters.
Okay, so it's a character that was pre-New 52 then, is what I'm reading into that. Okay. So it's a character that's not in the New 52.
Superman and Bruce finally admit their love.
Well, finally, it's about time. who could that be?
I got money on Wonder Woman. That's who I'm betting on.
I was just thinking that.
Because, like, she broke up with Steve Trevor. Why did she break up
with Steve Trevor? But that's what I'm saying. They're reintroducing a character that's not currently in the New 52.
Well, I have a guess.
Okay.
And it is based on something we've seen already. And I don't think it's Wonder Woman, because there's this chat about how they want to put Wonder Woman and Superman together, so I don't think they're going to go that way. He was in the DC Free Comic Book Day. He is known to dress flamboyantly. I'm thinking it's Vibe.
Ooh, and I just saw Vibe on that short.
Where's my free comic book?
That short was horrible. I did not
that was that. Awesome.
Well, you can't say that. Right, that just makes you intolerant.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
No, it was just. Evo was in that.
I just did not get it. I'm like, what am I watching?
Awesome. He broke his age.
I haven't seen it, but we know he's coming in because he's amidst the Justice League war in the DC Free Comic Book Day issue, and he does like his bright colors and shoulder pads and sunglasses. So I don't know, just a guess.
That is a good guess.
Is that in this
splash page? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see who you're talking about. Yeah. Maybe.
It's just a random guess based on somebody we know is being reintroduced at the minute.
Right.
Being reintroduced, could it be Power Girl?
Well, probably not.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Gail's working on something, though, right? We don't quite know what it is.
Do we? I'm not sure.
Is she working on something else? I haven't heard.
Maybe. She's been talking about this. She's working on something that she can't talk about.
Oh.
Well, you know what character hasn't had a lot of face time that she did create? Adam? Hmm. Second Adam?
Yeah.
Second Adam, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm thinking it's probably going to... Well, I think it's going to be a dude anyway.
Yeah, I'm thinking dude as well.
I was thinking more of the lady.
They got
lady version.
They've got plenty of female. Let's get down to brass tacks here. Bisexuality and homosexuality in females is far more accepted in comic books in particular than it is for men. Bisexuality and homosexuality among men in comics is far less accepted. So if they're talking about really breaking a barrier, that's the place that they're going to have to do it if they want to make
it's
a point.
It's not like we're saying, well, they've got a lesbian already, so we don't need another. It's
no,
not like,
absolutely
it's not.
Not.
Like
no, no,
that,
no, and that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying, like, I don't see that as something that they would make. Again, they have a character that they could put forward in that way. The way that they worded the press release would seem to be that, you know, they're talking about a more prominent male character.
They could use
what about the question? What about the question? Could they? Could it be the question?
Possible.
Triple? Were you here when we were talking about the? You were here when we were talking about the DC Free Comic Book Day, weren't you?
Yeah. The whole question is now magic.
Yeah. I read it. Yeah.
Because he's coming back. I'm sure they're going to do something with him.
Oh, hey, that reminds me, actually, to completely change the topic into something almost as controversial.
Why is that controversial?
Regarding the DC Free Comic Book Day issue, I cannot believe I missed this when I was summarizing it, okay? But the Phantom Stranger, it's Judas.
Oh.
And you look at the issue, like, he talks about forgive me as he would, and one of the deities throws, like, silver pieces at him that form the stranger.
Oh, like, yeah, because he... Oh, you're so right. Oh, my God. How did I miss that?
I can't believe I didn't see it, but and it's nothing to do with what we're talking about now, but, you know, controversial religion. That is the thing that I missed, and I just wanted to throw out there while we were talking about it.
How did I miss that? Normally, I'm good at that. Wow.
Yeah, you like, paid attention a whole lot more than I did. I just kind of looked at the pictures and was like, yeah, that is the question. All right, move on.
Phantom Stranger, forget that noise. Forget that hot mess.
Wow.
Okay, I think the only other major piece of news this week, then, is, sadly, following Filipino artist Tony DeZuniga's death last week, Conan artist Ernie Chan has died this week as well, at the age of 71. I believe he holds the record for most Conan inking ever at Marvel.
He did the Marvel Conan.
Okay. Conan.
Oh, wow.
Just running my eyes over this notice I have in front of me. He had recently been diagnosed with cancer. And that's the long and the short of it. It's 71, still a little young, but he leaves a strong legacy. Worked on Conan and Batman, Cole the Destroyer, Power Man and Iron Fist, inked Sal Buscema on The Incredible Hulk, and, well known for his late 70s work at Marvel, and worked on animation in the 1990s and retired in 2002. The good ones are dropping like flies lately. It's an increasingly more common piece of news I feel we have to relate on this show more and more, but
well, and I mean, it's one of those things I think that's coming and going to come. I mean, as we've, comics has become a longer standing medium, and that's something that, you know, we have to deal with as, you know, as the medium goes on. You're talking about comics reaching its, you know, yeah, obviously the, you know, for a lot of the golden age, a lot of that has already, you know, come and passed, but now we're getting into, you know, those that were prominent during the 60s, 50s and 60s and, you know, that time is coming. It is sad, but we can honor their lives, and we can still look back on the works that they've produced and the things that they've done. So those will go on, beyond their time. So there is at least that small piece of comfort.
This is true. Well, that's all the news for this week.
Fantastic. Nice. Bring it down on the.
Well, I always feel it's best to end on those, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that's it's a good way to honor anyway, I guess. So, very good then. Excellent. All right. Well, then, let us not waste time. Let us get straight to reviews, since that is
review time.
What we do and make jokes on this show. So, Chris Triplett, then, what it is that you have?
What it is just what it number nine.
Justice League number 9,
the return of Jim Lee.
You keep on reading those for me because I dropped it. So
yeah,
I haven't read it yet.
I think you might have dropped it a little bit too early because the last issue was really good, and this issue is it pretty good too. I mean, I can see a direction where it's going. Where like the first first six issues was that the first arc was just like. You know, real short, it felt like, and didn't feel like, other than, hey, they're together as heroes, dark side, boom, and that's it, and we're done. And then the next issue, we all kind of was like, you know, it didn't work for us. But, dude, like, last issue and this issue, I'm, like, seeing a direction again, unless something happens and this thing just, you know, takes a nosedive in, like, the next issue, I'm on board. I mean, I'm liking it. It's pretty cool. This issue starts off. By saying 4 years ago. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. What? Why are we going back 4 years ago? I mean, we haven't had hardly any stories in the now for Justice League. Why do we keep going back? I want some, like, now Justice League stories. But we get set up from, like, all this stuff that they've had kind of lingering before, like this stuff with that book that was written about the Justice League. And this guy, what's his name, David Graves?
David Graves, yeah.
Yeah. So the 4 years ago goes back to David Graves, the guy that wrote the book, and it's showing him, and he's, like, really sick. He's does he have cancer? Is that what's wrong with him, McFeely?
I think they left a little vague, I think, didn't they? Well, they mentioned chemotherapy
Yeah. And so, like, he's dying, and he's, like, talking to his doctor, and he's like, you know, we can't really do anything else for you, you know. You obviously know all this stuff about Justice League because of your book and all this. Can you go to them for help? And they talk, like, the Justice League can't help me, you know, they're not gods. You know, he makes a mention that saying, oh, they're not gods. And there's like, well, can you go to, like, you know, this guy in your book that you keep talking about, Steve Trevor, and he winds up just basically saying, I'm sorry, David, there's nothing else we can do for you. And he pulls a gun and shoots his doctor and says, then my journey must begin. You couldn't save me. They couldn't save me. And he says, so I have to save myself. Thus begins the next arc of Justice League. Oh, my God. And it's being titled The Villain's Journey. So cool start, cool beginning. And did I mention Jim Lee's doing the art? So the art looks good. I mean, it don't look bad. Not knocking the art in this issue. And this issue is basically about Steve Trevor, which, you know, we've kind of been getting a lot more of him. Like, right after, you know, the first arc, they kind of went straight into Steve Trevor. And in the first issue didn't, I feel like, do, like, a good job of kind of establishing. But then the next issue, you got a little bit more. And in this issue, you're just getting even more with him and his family, and shows him and his sister and everything like that. But the issue then breaks up into kind of, like, little sections going through, like, each member of the Justice, like Batman, Superman, whatnot. And you get a little bit of background story with them, just kind of like in these little kind of black and white panels, which I thought was really cool. Like Batman, one thing I thought was awesome, which I never thought they would get back to this, is the note that Barry gave him from Flashpoint.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the note that he got from his dad, like, you know, his dad gave Barry when Barry, you know, and he gave it to him and all this stuff. And he's got the note, like, up in the Batcave, which, you know, I never thought they'd go back to that. I thought that would just be, like, just a cool end in the Flashpoint. But no, he's still got it. He's, like, staring at it. And it shows, like, a cool little sequence where, you know, he's a little boy and he's, like, painting his room. And Alfred's like, why are you painting your room? You know, your mother painted in your favorite color. And in very Batman fashion, he's like, I have no favorite color anymore.
Vengeance.
I mean, it has to be black, right?
Yeah.
But, like, something happened. Like, Arkham, there's an attack at Arkham Asylum, and it looks like the inmates are going to escape. And so Batman's going to go and work on that. And he's kind of fixated on one of the people that's there. And it's an old Justice League villain called The Key, which I know virtually nothing
about. I don't really know anything about him either. I know the name, you know. I know that he used to be, like, pre-crisis, he was a big guy in, like, a big key costume, and he had a big key that shot keys or some such, you know?
No.
But then,
freaking.
Not literally.
Way.
Not literally, but he did have a big key.
Did he ever team up with
no.
Did he ever team up with a lock or anything like that? I mean,
no.
And then I think at some point he was upgraded into the version you see here where he uses, like, what does it say? Psychochemicals allow key to feed off victims' psychological state. I think. Now, I can't swear to this. I think he might have been one of the various villains who got, like, upgraded by Neron during that Hell story back in the 90s, whenever a bunch of low-rent villains got power boosts back from Hell. I think he might have been one of them, but I'm guessing anyway.
But, yeah, like, he's fixated on him, and he's going to go, and I guess he's afraid that he's going to get out and cause some trouble. It's another one of those cases where, like, it's, like, present day, and the Justice League, they've been around for 5 years, and they fought all these battles that we never saw, you know, and apparently, you know, there was this big deal when they fought the Key before, so it's kind of like one of those cases. It doesn't bother me too much, but it still kind of does bother me, you know, because when we relaunched, I was kind of hoping we would just be like, all right, you know, we need to get, like, their first adventures, their first fights with all these characters. Even when they did the Amazo fight, that was off camera, or off panel, you didn't even see it. It was over, like, when you turned the page, so that's a little annoying, but other than that...
See, I kind of prefer that. I prefer that this stuff is treated as having happened, and we try to get... I mean, it's worked better for some comics than it has for others, but that we just try to carry on with business as usual.
I think it works for, like, other stuff.
Instead of retelling all of history.
I think it works better for, like, other stuff, but I think, like, what hurts... What kind of, like, stands out to me is because, like, those first six issues was, hey, this is when we first meet, and then we make the big jump. And it wasn't a good jump because, like, we were talking about the next issue just didn't work well. But pretty much the entire issue is just, like, all the characters and then, like, little sequences. Like, you know, Superman has a sequence where he's at work and he's remembering when he was, like, in school and people were picking for basketball. They don't pick Clark Kent. They pick Pete Ross, man. He must have not liked that too good. If only they do. And they all kind of get, like, a little moment. Like, we get, like, some stuff with Cyborg and his dad. And, you know, he's still talking to his dad, but he's basically getting upgrades to his cyborg body and saying, Dad, you don't have to talk to me. Just give me the upgrade. And that's sort of like his backstory. Green Lantern getting in trouble when he's getting into fights. And also Barry's, you know, Flash's is kind of there saying, hey, you know, you don't, that guy's got rights, don't beat him up or something, which was kind of funny because it's just out of nowhere. It's like Barry's like, hey, he's got rights. Oh, we'll be sure to tuck him in, Alan, and that's all it was for that sequence. But
oh, I did really enjoy this Green Lantern and Flash scene.
The good cop, bad cop was
awesome. Yeah.
They gotta, like, interrogate this guy, this supervillain, and
the Weapons Master. I've never even heard of him.
Oh my God! What is this, Marvel?
is that a Jurgens villain? JD, can you help me out?
I don't know.
Do what? Yeah, Dan Jurgens villain, probably. One-off villain, just to create.
Dude, that's basically what he looks like. I mean, he kind of looks like something that Rob Liefeld made. So it would be
shoulder
surprised.
Pads.
Oh yeah. Man. There you go.
Shoulder pads and a random strap around his thigh.
Yeah, because you might need that, you know.
was pretty awesome because, like, Hal always plays the bad cop. And, of course, Barry's always the good cop. And Barry wants to be the bad cop really bad this time. And he says, you're a terrible bad cop. You shouldn't do it. And he basically talks him into it. And then we find out how terrible of a bad cop he is because Hal had set up the whole situation for him. I'm like, oh, my God. Barry didn't have to do anything. Because Hal was like, he's like, you better watch out. Go ahead. Yeah.
If it wasn't for me, he'd already be in here vibrating his hand through your head, through your brain to get answers and turn it into mush. The Flash can do that? Oh, yeah! Leaves the perp stuck wearing adult diapers for the rest of their life. Just ask the mongoose. Who? Exactly!
God.
It's so, like, Barry comes in, like, ready to be the bad cop, and what does he say? All right, Weapons Master, you better talk, or what? Or I'm going to get really upset.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was like, great, now we gotta call her Wonder Woman.
I like the face palm that he has here.
I'm just thinking about the Eddie Izzard, like, Church of England sort of interrogation. Oh, these are tight. Oh, well, can you loosen them up a bit? Cake or death. Yes. Anyway, sorry.
Get her, like, a little sequence with Steve Trevor where they kind of keep talking about, you know, Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman's relationship, how, you know, they were dating.
Really looks
and
like
they weren't.
He broke up with her.
Yeah. It kind of looks like maybe, you know, he really cared for her, and he let her know it, and she didn't tell him that. Because he says, if you're not going to say it, don't say anything. And then he just walks away in that sequence. And they go back to that because, like, basically what's going on is, like, they're all doing their thing. While that's going on, somebody kidnaps Steve Trevor. We don't see who it is, but it's made pretty clear that it's this Graves guy. I mean, it's pretty clear that it's got to be him. And when he kidnaps him, there's this torturous little sequence at the end of the issue where he breaks Steve Trevor's hand. He's like torturing him. He looks like he's maybe punched him in the face a couple times or done something. It looks like he's got some teeth missing. And basically what he wants is, since he's so close to the Justice League, he wants access to Is it the watchtower they have, their satellite?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. And he knows he can get him in there, and he threatens his family, and he says, you got to tell me this. You got to help me, get access, or else I'll go after your family. And who do you think is going to be able to defend themselves better against me, your family or the Justice League? Nobody's going to be able to protect your family from me. And he tells
them. We find out in the course of the thing as well that the key and the weapons master, the key's actually broken into Arkham because he wants to be locked away because he's terrified. Because yeah. Graves has come to both these men to find out what they know about the Justice League and how to hurt them the most.
But I got
me a theory.
Do you? You got
which,
you?
Yeah, we got two issues ago. Two issues ago, we know the Orb of Ra got stolen.
Yeah.
And we know that the Orb of Ra, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but the Orb of Ra is what gives Metamorpho his powers. So I think David Graves has turned himself into a Metamorpho.
Hmm.
He does have a purple hand.
Yeah, and he does have a white head.
Ooh.
That's right. He's in dark, so you don't really see him.
Yeah, you don't get a look at him, but he's wearing a cape because presumably that's what supervillains do. I like the idea that he's maybe patterned himself off a supervillain because he just thinks that's what they should do. That's what he should look. He looks like he might be a bit overblown and somewhat ridiculous in design, and I think that's probably a deliberate thing.
So this Graves guy, he's not anything that was pre-existing before that you know.
No,
right?
this is a new character, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. I liked it. I think Justice League's the book to watch. I think it's going to be pretty good in the next couple issues. Mm. Do we want to talk any about Shazam? I mean, Shazam was awesome.
Yeah, great.
As usual, really, really starting to like that kid a little bit more, especially when they start picking on the other kids and he comes back and just beats the hell out of his bullies. It's like, came back and you helped us. Thank you, Billy. It's no big deal. I just don't like bullies.
I mean, there's nothing particularly unique about the way he's being written. But again, this is still, this is a more real, I think we said it back when the thing started, this is a more real 21st century orphan. This is an angry, disenfranchised kid, but he's not really a bad kid. He's just been dealt a bad hand. And we're seeing that as much as he might have appeared like a dick right off the bat in the first issue, there is goodness in him, and he is going to be worthy of these powers for a reason whenever it is that he finally gets them.
Yeah. I'm liking it. Like I was telling you before, I want a 30-page monthly comic, Geoff Johns writing, Gary Frank doing the art. I want 30 pages of this monthly. I don't want, what is this, like 7, 8 pages or something?
10 pages actually.
Okay, I'm greedy. I want more.
It's 11 pages actually. It's pretty big this issue. I don't think it's even normally that long.
I hope this leads to something like that because I would totally buy that book. And I'm buying.
This does seem like a testing ground,
Yeah. But it's cool. I like it. Justice League was awesome. If you wrote it off, I think you should try it, JD.
Hey, you're not going to read Scarlet Spider, so you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah, Scarlet Spider is going to get canceled before the end of the year.
No. It's not true.
No, okay, it's probably not, but still.
Okay. All right, very good. All right, thank you, sir.
Very different twist on Dr. Savannah in this as well, which I'm still not entirely sure what I feel about. I do prefer my little tiny shrimpy curses foiled again, Dr. Savannah. I also do.
When those bullies were picking on the kids and like their dad shows up, it's like this rich dude.
Yeah, I want to punch him in the ear.
I knew Savannah was already had shown up before, but for some reason, because like he's got the family, the family.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that's going to be his version of Savannah. And he's got like the kids and everything, and he's rich. but then I turned the page and it's like, oh yeah, he's at a dig site.
He already exists.
He already exists. Oh yeah.
I want to punch that dude right in his beard.
Yes.
Nice.
I agree.
Awesome. Okay.
But it's cool that it's a very it's a transparently like cliche evil rich guy with evil rich middle-aged white guy with bully kids, but I really it's the sort of character where you can enjoy hating him because that's what he's there for.
Yeah.
That's what a punching bag is for.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. And Nicole, then, what is it you have for us?
Well, guess what? I am doing another number one because I guess that's my job on the show.
Getting people drunk.
I've given myself that job. I'm going to be reviewing Hardcore.
Someone's got to try something new because I sure as hell ain't going to do it.
I know.
I like new stuff. I like new stuff. So I mean, I'm still reading Thieves of Thieves. That was a new number one, and now they're on their fourth issue, so it's getting good. Yeah. So, but I'm going to be reading Hardcore by Robert Kirkman, Mark Silvestri, and Brian Stillfreeze, which is still like one of the coolest names ever. Love that name. So,
funny story about this. This is 2 years late.
Is it really?
Yeah, this was one of the pilot season one-shots, which Top Cow did a couple of years back. 2 years back, they did this thing. They did pilot season with it, and it was what Twilight Garden grew out of. I don't remember if it was the same year that they did they've done it at least twice, and I don't remember if it was supposed to be out in the same year that Twilight Guardians pilot season one-shot came out. This was supposed to come out then. It didn't. Oh. Here it is now.
Nice.
They didn't even resolicit it or anything. And the only reason I know this is because I had my invoice for this week's comics in front of me in the store, and I was like, the fuck is that? I don't remember ordering that. I had to go and look up the code and see that it was a February 2010 order code. And I was like, they literally didn't resolicit it or anything. It's just been anybody who ordered it back then is going to suddenly find it on in their boxes today or this week.
Well, if you like spy drama, this is definitely a good one to start off with. So this isn't really your superhero kind of comic, but it's got some good points to it. We start off with we're in a business meeting, and you can tell these guys aren't too good because they're talking about warheads being delivered. Yeah, usually that's not mean they're good people.
So. I talked about that at work just the other day. I don't know what you mean.
When are those warheads getting delivered? Okay. Should it be here any minute?
I guess it just depends about what your job is.
And they're talking about, he's talking about having his brother attain any leverage on any company employees that would give him grief about this. So if you were an employee and you didn't like what they were doing, somehow you were no longer with the company. They don't say if they made you go bye-bye permanently, but you are no longer with the company. Let's just say that. And so, and you can see his brother, he's having some hard times. He's a bigger man. He's like, I've hurt my back. He's like, I can't move. And then all of a sudden, you see this bigger gentleman, let's see, what was his name? Did he even say his name? He doesn't. He goes and attacks his brother. This big guy is trying to attack him by slitting his throat. But guess what? He misses. And they have like this whole conversation, and you're just, this gets kind of confusing. You're like, who is he talking to? Is he talking to his brother, or is he talking to himself? And all of a sudden, all this gunplay is going on. And again, he keeps on talking, and you're just like, what's going on? And so finally, after a few pages of this gunfight with them trying to get done with, you know, the warhead meeting, you go into this laboratory, and you see this gentleman just floating. Oh, that's my phone. Sorry.
Hello.
Thought it was mine for a second, actually.
I apologize. It's like, no one ever calls. So you see this gentleman just floating in this big sphere of water, and you're just like, and he's, let's just say, he's not dressed. So
he needs a lab coat, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So we went from gunfire to globe of water with a naked man in it.
Yeah, so you can see he's attached somehow, and you come to find out he is seeing what this bigger gentleman is seeing. So he is hooked into this other guy. That's why he was talking to someone else, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So, yeah, and they're talking about what's going wrong with this experiment, and that he needs to get out of there. He needs to get the job done so they could get him unhooked and safe, so nothing happens to his body while he's in the sphere.
So he's psychically projecting into this guy to get inside this evil corporation?
Yeah. Yeah, and so he's like, well, it's kind of hard because this guy, a big,
Uh-oh.
Did we freeze, or is it just her?
I think it's just her.
We'll get okay. Nope.
Please Ooh. Hold.
Usually it's me.
This is when the hold music like kicks in. You're like... Da-da.
So is that part of the drinking game?
That's the yeah, there is.
Actually, it should be. We haven't had much problems with it in a while.
It is in the drinking game, actually.
Take a drink.
Yep. If one of the, I believe it is. Let me go back and check here.
Pass.
Give us something to do while we're waiting for Nicole to come back. I believe it is. If any of the anybody disconnects, let's see here.
That's an easy one. Mm. That should definitely be on there.
It should.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you guys.
Oh no, that's fine.
I don't know what
yep,
happened.
Yep, take
there.
Two drinks anytime a host loses their connection. There you go, kids. Congratulations. So, take two drinks.
So, well, okay, so there's this bigger guy, he decides to take advantage of his girth by taking his brother out and throwing him out the window. Curse blast.
Okay.
Let's just say that. But
that's getting the job done.
Yeah, it's getting the job done. And so you see the guy that's connected to him in, you know, the water. His name's Drake. He isn't feeling too well because he felt the same pain that this other guy did, falling out a window, you know, a few stories. That's not going to be good to the body. But come to find out.
Who fell out the window?
Both the bigger guy and
he took him out the window with him. Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, so they both were falling out. So, yeah, he felt the impact. So you see him, and he's not doing too well. Well, guess what? They're being evaluated by the Department of Defense. You know, so this experiment was to see if they're going to get funding from now on. And so I love this. The first thing he says when he comes out, he sees this woman who's doing the evaluation, and he says to her, "Who's the stuck-up bitch?" Okay, probably not the best thing to do when you're being evaluated. but I got to say, I loved it. And
I said that in an interview once.
Are you serious?
I need to question your job.
No, I didn't do that.
That would be awesome. So the thing is, they're like, okay, this was your whole deal. You go talk to her. So he's running around naked. Okay, fine. He puts a towel on, and he goes up to the roof to tell her exactly what the experiment is, because he's the one. She needs to know all the details about what's going on to see if they're going to get funding. And this is where they tell you what exactly is hardcore. Basically, they have a group of snipers try to get involved with whoever the bad guys are, but they don't want the top dog. They want someone that's close that they can infiltrate and you know, get more information out of. So they get snipers not to kill him, but to inject him with like a transplant in the back of their neck. Mm-hmm. So, and then that transplant is hooked up to the sphere that he's in, and he's connected to the person. So they're linked, basically. So and it goes on that they don't necessarily want someone, they don't want it to get dirty. They just want to get the information go out. Unfortunately, this last experiment did not go too well, and so it did get a little dirty. And that's what happens on the very front cover. You see Drake on the cover, and also a little boy in the background about ready to kill his mother. That's the cover. So you're just like, this is interesting. So what's this about? So it tells you exactly what hardcore is. And then you see Drake in his personal life. He's actually a great, you know, neighbor. He actually feeds his elderly neighbor some groceries, and you can tell he's just a good guy. He's doing all this good stuff. But his house is being invaded by a competitor, the guy that they stole this experiment from. And so he's like, I'm not liking this. You guys took all my information. You stole it from me. It's kind of like a whole Facebook thing, you know? But with warheads.
Facebook with warheads. Okay.
Yeah. So he's not too happy. He's like, watch your back, you know. Okay, well, the next day comes in, and Drake is on his next assignment where he is put into another body. Well, the guy that was previously in his apartment, because he knows how this stuff works, he invades his body, and he won't let him go because the gal that worked for the Department of Defense, nope, she was working for him. She goes in, totally ransacks and kills everyone except for Drake, who is hooked up now, and he has no choice but to do what his bidding is, this other gentleman. And so it's just like, it's getting good. So he has 72 hours to complete everything, or he dies, or he becomes the person that he's hooked up to. So he's got
this
all
this. Sounds so much like the setup for a movie. I mean, it
does.
Really does.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really, film. Really interesting.
Well, and it would star Jason Statham.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the guy that
he's running around doing crazy shit, just getting stuff done within the span of 24 hours.
The guy that his he's in the body right now, he's not too good. He is having an affair with the wife of a dictator, and so he's caught in bed with this woman, and it's not going to be too good right now.
It's like a screwed up Robert Kirkman version of Quantum Leap. I like this.
Oh, that's exactly. So it's just,
it sounds like Source Code, but without the time travel.
Yes.
But, so he's got 72 hours to make this decision on what to do. Does he do the does he finish the assignment? Because he does. He knows that everyone else is pretty much dead on his side. So what does he do? What does he do? And he that's what he says. That he's just like, I have 72 hours to save my life. Oh! So yeah, I gotta admit, this was really good. A good old spy drama. Now, like I said, it's not the superhero comics, but there's some heroes. There's some really good bad guys. It's great setup. Yeah. It was really good, I gotta admit. So,
wow.
A lot of suspense. Cool. A lot of suspense. So.
Neat.
It needs all to right. end them looking in a saying, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Jeez.
God, I need a Quantum Leap movie so freaking. And I'm just saying. Yeah. Now.
So what's going to happen to Drake? I don't know, but it's going to be good.
Is there more of it, though? Is there more of this?
Usually those are four issues, isn't it? I think.
Yeah,
well, no, I mean, the pilot season start with a one-shot.
Yeah, this is one, and I think, where did I read? I think I read it online, or from here. I think it's going to be a five issue thing.
The way that they did that pilot season is they did get an initial one-shot, and then the winners got... You know, like a mini series, basically.
Yeah. Did you have to? Is that how it worked? Like fans voted on a website or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, because that's how Troy got yeah. his from that. So
I got to admit this was really good. I just picked it up because I enjoy Robert Kirkman stuff, and so I'm like, he's got Robert Kirkman. Yeah. I'll go check it out. And so sweet. Yeah, I got to admit, I'm liking it. For
cool.
the first he writes a book about zombies, so yeah,
I'd, yeah.
Yeah, you know. You may have heard of it.
Yeah, maybe. So I gotta admit, it got my interest, so.
Nice. Okay, cool. So I am going to review probably the best issue of What If I have ever read.
Oh, you better be careful there. There's some pretty good ones.
This is What If the Fantastic Four were created in the world with where Nazis won the war.
Look,
actually,
look,
no, it's
okay.
not. It's Hitler, Fantastic Four.
Right? You open the comic, and Hitler's in it. Okay, that's,
I mean,
that's the starting page.
Yeah. Okay.
This is, you're like,
what?
This is Fantastic Four 605.1. So this is a point one, but really, it's sort of. It's not even a what if. This is just the story of. There's a whole great intro.
Essentially, a what if. It is. Basically a what if.
It's a multiverse story, though. I mean, even the intro goes through the whole deal. Like, these are the Fantastic Four, but this is a different story, and the multiverse will never be the same.
Yeah.
So this is the origin, basically, of one of the Reeds from the multiverse.
That's the end. You ruined it.
No, you picked that up in the beginning. That's what that says right there. It says multiverse.
Yeah, but you don't know that it's supposed to be.
How could it not be? Those are all. You don't know which one it is. You just know it's a Reed.
Yeah, I know, but you should still be left to discover that.
How can you discover it if you already know it?
Oh, did we mention that we have spoilers on this show? Sorry, guys.
It's not even a spoiler. Like, if you can't put that together, then you should really, like, not even be watching this show. Like, literally, hello. If you've been reading anything from Fantastic Four over the last 2 years, you know that there was a Council of Reeds. There's a multiverse. There's a bunch of Reeds, all right? I have not told you anything other than that. I mean, these are things that you should already know. There's a multiverse of Reeds. They were in the Council of Reeds. All of them were.
Actually, I don't think.
Please keep in mind,
I didn't put. I didn't. I knew this was one of the Reeds, but I didn't know which one it was until I got to the end. Is what I'm saying. Anyway,
Hitler.
It was Hitler.
Hitler. Yes.
It's Hitler.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Hitler.
So, at the beginning of this issue, you see the rocket, and you see them in the rocket, and then it flashes back to Reed talking to Hitler, and Hitler's like. Are we going to go to the sun, basically, the other side of the sun? And Reed's like, sure, fear. I'm going to conquer heaven. So this is, it reads very actually quickly. This moved pretty quick, but this is an interesting story. You know, it's just those slight variations. Again, you know, this is like, that was supposed to be 2 years ago. It moves forward in time to 16 months ago to the American province of New Berlin, which is... New York, basically. And at one of these, Nazi military training, they basically just had a battle royale to find the two best recruits. And it turned out to be this brother-sister team. And, of course, all of the names have been, like, the sort of Germanized version. So it's the Cadet Storm, Storm, but it's S-T-U-R-M, Sturm, yeah. Yeah. 11 months previous, they find their pilot, which is at the Nazi concentration camp in Boston.
Boston.
Grim Benjamin Jacob, who will be their pilot, shaved head, you know, haggard looking version of a Ben Grimm. And you know, it's kind of weird. You see Reed in like the full like Nazi uniform and. There's a conference almost or something? It's a university or something that this is?
It's in Baden-Württemberg, and I don't know what it is, but it looks like a kind of a castle or something. It just seems like they've gathered together all of the great minds of the day to all write on blackboards together.
Yep.
It's the proverbial monkeys in the typewriter.
Yeah, basically. And so, but one of the monkeys is smarter than the other, apparently, and is... Worked out this solution to this problem or whatever.
And how does Ray shielding.
How does he know that he's smarter than the other monkeys?
Because
he figures it out.
He figures it out. He figures out the solution to the Ray shielding.
He figures out not to throw the poop.
And he's like, he wants to, you know, victory or already gave it away. Reed wants to,
doing bad this week.
Yeah, I know. I'm really blowing this.
Giving everything away.
Reed wants to, you know. Study him more, basically, get more of his information. He asks what his name is. Of course, his name is Victor. Victor Von Doom. Then part where, like, you freak out because you turn the page and it's Reed talking. Now, he's got
God, I know. It's like, it's the most what-if-y ordinary sort of, here's all the characters and here's where they would be if it was Nazi America land. And then you turn the page and take it to tell him what he's done.
Reed is talking, and he's presumably talking to Victor, but he's got this like scar, like this suture scar along his head. His head's completely shaved, and he's talking about something about a perfect combination and combining their wisdom. Yeah, you come over to the panel, and there's basically a skull open, no top of the head. Victor laying on the table.
Yeah, where Reed, he cut his brain out and put it in his own head.
Yeah, we're basically Reed grafted parts.
Gruesome.
Yeah, it is too. I mean, it's.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm just looking at it while you're talking about it because, like, this is so crazy. I have to see this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did. He just grafted part of Victor's brain into his own.
Yeah. As you do.
Wow.
You know, just like you would if you're a crazy Nazi. So they go up in the so now we've come to now, and they're going up in the rocket, and even like I love this part where Reed's like, this could hurt a bit, like you know, because it might. And of course, what happens? The same thing that always happens when this happens: the Ah, my skin is turning cold. Ah, and then we see the Ben's talking about losing feeling in his hands, and then the thing crashes, and of course... So the power set is obviously a little bit different than it was, than it is for the Earth group. One of the parts I love on this, though, is you see, like, the image of the scratched rocket, and of course it's got the swastika on the side, but some of it's roughed up. And so it's basically got the bits roughed up to where it makes the swastika into, like, a four with the circle.
That's cool.
Brilliant. Ah, love that.
That is that would be like the logo if this was its own comic.
Oh, God,
that
just, yes.
That would be like stamped in the top left corner, just like faded out swastika.
So so we see Johnny's got...
Sell millions.
Oh, man, yeah. People would be clamoring for that. That wouldn't be controversial at all for Disney to sell,
not
would
remotely.
It?
Remotely.
Yeah. I'm surprised Disney let this go out. Like, oh, no, we too much. Ooh. So
I would like to. I'm very glad that Disney still allows stuff like this because I was afraid of that when they bought Marvel. That is this going to affect the comics? But apparently it doesn't because we're getting stuff like this.
So so we go to the celebration of achievement at Nuremberg, and of course the Fuhrer is talking, and again you have the logo with the swastika behind and the eagle symbol with a rocket and then FF above it, which I'm trying to. I'm not sure what they're saying that is. But anyway,
I'm not sure what that would be. Did they summarize it? Because, I mean, the characters, Reed and Johnny and Sue, are all wearing threes.
Yeah, because Ben
is a Jew, so
right, Ben's
not,
a Jew. He wouldn't be part of the group.
Amongst the team of
Did
heroes.
You see on the back of his helmet, too, it had the star? The back of Ben's helmet has the Star of David on the back.
I didn't notice that. Yeah,
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
So I'm not sure what the FF stands for.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is supposed to be. But yeah, they just wear three because they would be the three, of course. And then, that's just the big monster guy. Of course, they have him in chains and everything.
Fantastic for your hair.
Yeah. But I can't see. They talk about him being an animal and now a monster as well. Crazy evil Jew. Not really. Anyway, what is it? This Reed has what, psychic powers, I guess, is telekinetic.
Yep.
And
he has more brain.
So he asks the Ben if he released him, if he would help him, which, sure. So he releases the monster, which immediately smashes Hitler into bits.
Remember the Alamo, you Nazi bastard.
I loved it. That was awesome. Punches Johnny in the head, which shatters his head.
Because Johnny's made of ice now. Here.
Yeah, Johnny's made of ice.
Here.
And then, I guess...
Yeah, that's an awesome battle, because, I mean, his head just comes off at the jaw. It's
yeah.
not like he punches
so you've
his
got,
head
like, a top
off.
Jaw?
It's like
yeah.
he's made of ice, and the head just flies off the jaw.
It's awesome.
I'm wondering if Ben is supposed to be made of wood or not.
I don't know. I can't tell.
Because, I mean, I thought maybe they were inverting it, like, you know, wood instead. They were going for a different elemental approach. They were going for, you know, ice instead of fire and wood instead of stone.
She's got fire, though,
but
right?
Sue is fire, yeah.
She's got fire.
But she
yeah,
seems to
okay.
burn Ben up fairly easily.
Yeah, but
I was wondering if Ben was supposed to be made of wood.
Yeah, I guess that is the deal. But they kill each other, I guess, is what we see in this. Because when it comes back, they're saying that... Of course, there's like a news report, and you see that all the others, you know, they're saying that the other team had been killed, you know, everybody's been killed and curing the Fuhrer, and then who will lead us, and what does our future hold? And of course, it ends on a shot of Reed. And in the next, you say, you know, the future, and this is all from Reed's perspective, and again, you see him in like the full Fuhrer regalia with his head shaved and just a slight beard, just a scruffy sort of beard. And what ensues is like basically a series of just of panel story where he's talking and thinking, where like the army is being attacked by I guess the X-Men of this world sort of.
Mm.
But you notice that he's wearing something.
Yeah.
You notice that he's wearing the Infinity Gauntlet.
What?
Yeah, which he then uses to like explodify. you know, like Captain America and Spider-Man and all of them.
That's what you use it for. You explodify things.
That's right. Yeah. It's very good at explodification. So he blows all of them up, and then even more heroes come out of nowhere to try to attack him. And as he puts it, he lost control. And he lost control. And it, like, spans out into space, and you see stars and planets exploding. And he basically blew everything up.
Whoops.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
And so you
that
see,
can't be good.
So you see this reed floating in space. And this is the point at which you figure out which reed it is, of course, because then you have the gauntlet. And this reed has been floating in space a while. So what's happened? His beard has grown very long. That's right. It is the long-bearded gauntlet-wearing reed.
It's that one.
That one. But he finds the doorway to the Council of Reeds and becomes one of
It seems more like he makes
it. Does he make it? Is that what it is?
He says eventually he has an idea.
Has an idea and forms
it. Seems
okay.
Like he makes it, yeah.
And it bring and does so. Does it saying that he's bringing it? To, he brings them together. But you see,
yeah, it seems like well, it seems to me like he makes it, and then he makes the there is no name for it. The citadel thing, where
yeah, the
reeds made. And
yeah.
I feel like the idea is that this that because he enters it, and there are two other reeds with infinity gauntlets. And I feel like these three reeds that they made the same mistakes, and this is what happened to them. And these three are where the council began.
Yeah.
It's not just any reed; these are the reeds who started the council.
Yeah, yeah. And then it ends, of course, on the page of a group of the reeds. All the reeds.
Together, we will solve
everything. Yeah, but it ends with that line, we'll solve everything. This is just, I mean, it's just damned cool.
Oh, God, that's a great issue.
I mean, it's just like, you know.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome, but I want to ask a question, though. Is it a good point one issue?
Not
even, not even remotely. No.
Well, Fantastic Four book. I mean, if this is your first introduction to Fantastic Four, which I thought that was the idea of a point one, like a little kind of, hey, you can read this and not have to worry about anything else, and well, this will be your introduction, and then you can like start buying the book, I guess, because you have the idea. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Fantastic Four after.
Well, it's two questions, though. One, didn't we already got an FF point one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did we? I thought we already did.
I don't remember getting one.
Okay. Even that aside, I mean, really, like, Fantastic Four, isn't it still sort of between things? Like, they haven't, like, they've just,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, this is not the time to be saying to people, come jump on for the tail end of this run.
Right, you know, and the, yeah, and otherwise you can jump on at the beginning of the next thing, so... I mean, I like it. I mean, it's, yeah, it's probably not the best in terms of, like, this is a jumping on point. But I think this
like,
is...
And 606 is what I was asking, you know? Mm. That's it, basically. Other than that, I got no problem with it. It seems awesome.
Oh, no, it's
great.
I mean,
a great issue, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is totally solid. There's a, I mean, like I said, it read pretty quick and moves along and stuff, but it's just damned kind of interesting. It's sort of that perfect, I mean, you know, what's better than having, you know, Hitler in your comic, you know? Especially
Hitler.
You know what's better than having Hitler in your comic? Smashing Hitler to bits in your comic. That's probably that's probably the thing that's better, and that's what happens. So yeah. So it's, I mean, totally fun. Great read. It's, I mean, the art is really cool too. I really like the art on it.
Yeah, the art is nice.
So it's totally worth a read.
Good art from Mike Choi on this one.
So yeah.
It's a weird look to it, kind of a, I don't know how to explain it.
You know, and it's one of those deals where it's like the cover even looked a little menacing, so I wasn't really sure what to expect out of it. And totally great story that came out of it, not knowing what it was. And I think even, you know, based on our review, there's good stuff in there to even read and check out. So you should check that out. Even if you've not been keeping, I mean, I think that's the thing to keep out of it as a point one, that even if you've not been keeping up with Fantastic Four, like, this is just a great, like, one-off, you know, like I said, count it up as a what-if, and read it that way, and it's still pretty damn
fun.
I mean,
yeah, it kind of seems like that all the point ones have basically went in that direction. It's not so much more, this is a book you can read, and this will kind of get you into the comic and kind of give you an idea of it. It's like, hey, we've got a story to tell. Doesn't fit in a regular issue. This is where we put it, point one. It seems like an extra way to sell you another comic without saying, hey, this is an Elseworlds or this is a...
Because that was... Well, that was the thing they were trying to tell... They were trying to say they weren't doing with point one. The whole thing about point one is that they were trying to make it a... this isn't something extra to buy. This is a... You know, this is like a
but
jumping on
point.
But it
is something extra to
but,
buy.
But, yeah, but it has sort of become that in a lot of instances. Yeah. So yeah,
still one of the best point one issues.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it makes me hard for me to choose like what point ones are worth and what point ones aren't, because I get them all for the books that I get, but they're not all good.
No,
you know, that's sort of my problem.
Right. I think some of the testament has been, is it written by, you know, at least the primary writer of the story?
Most times not, though.
You know, and a lot of times they aren't, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. Typically the ones that I have liked are the ones that are written by the primary writing team.
Yeah.
So like this was done by Hickman, you know, so I think that's a testament to how good this is. You know, Dan Slott's point one was good. You know, but there's been some others.
Venom number zero.
Yeah. So
Venom number zero, yeah.
Zero. Yeah. So anyway. All right. There you go. Chris McFeely, what you got, sir? What did you decide? Have you decided what you're doing?
I'm gonna carry on the Hickman flow. And the World War II.
Oh, here we go. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
With Manhattan Project, number 3. Now, I didn't talk about the second issue, except to say that Wernher von Braun was in it, and he had a massive cyborg arm. But this
awesome.
One, the title of this one is The Bomb.
Uh-oh.
So, you can get... This is about the Manhattan Project getting back on track and doing what they were created to do, which is to... create the atom bomb. And it's like, it begins with Albert Einstein in his strange little room contemplating his monolith, as we saw him doing in the very first issue. Richard Feynman comes in and asks, the Manhattan Project is actually making me want to expand mine. I don't know really anything about the Manhattan Project except what it is and what it did, you know? I don't know anything about the scientists that were part of it except for Einstein and maybe like one other, you know.
I just watched Fat Man and Little Boy. That's a good movie. That'll cover it.
Sorry?
You. Just watch Fat Man and Little Boy. What? That'll cover it for you.
No, okay. Those were the bombs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
John Cusack's in it. It's a good movie.
So, I mean, it makes me... I keep going and looking up all the different scientists who are appearing in this so I can understand some stuff. So, you know, Richard Feynman, who was introduced in the last one. Feynman, yeah. Well, he's our narrator for the series anyway. It's the quotes from his book, Clavis Aurea, not a real book as far as I understand it, that are obviously not a real book because it talks about infinity pens, which mark the beginnings and ends of each issue. They're the epigraphs. And he asks Einstein for some help. You know, what does he say? We've come up with functional designs for two possible delivery systems, a simpler gun-type fission bomb and a more complex implosion-type nuclear weapon. And Einstein just says, just built them both. We'll come back to
it
that
makes sense.
Later. This issue, each issue tends to have some kind of like flashback part, the monochrome blue and red flashbacks. We got it for Oppenheimer in the first and von Braun in the second. This one is for the general who we met in the first issue, real warmonger guy. Turns out he's a real guy too. Leslie Groves was the guy in charge of the Manhattan Project. Turns out this is about him. He was a real guy, so that surprised me. You know, I went to look this up, and it's about how his father, who was formerly an army chaplain, raised him. With one verse from Judges, one does not live outside the hand of the righteous, and it is the righteous who fear God. But his father teaches them that in Hebrew the sentence can be read a different way, which is, what God fears is the righteous. And of course, that's the complete opposite of the sentence, so it causes entire world belief into question. And he resolves it to mean, this is what his father teaches them, is that whatever way you read it, it means that no one exceeds the reach of the righteous. And this is the methodology which Groves has lived his life to, and which is going to come to an end in this issue, or a climax. We also meet, we met him previously in the first issue, and I just wondered, who's the irradiated skeleton in the containment suit? Well, it turns out
I've been wondering
that. Yes, his name is
Harry. I wonder that every day I go into work.
Well, he's Harry Daglian, who was a real Manhattan Project scientist who, in real life, died after he was accidentally exposed to plutonium. Except, no, he didn't. They salvaged his atomic skeleton remains, and they feed him plutonium regularly to keep him alive. So
nom,
they
nom,
can...
Nom.
Yes. In this issue,
does he talk, or is he like a monster?
Yeah, he talks. No, he talks. He's a perfectly coherent, cognizant scientist. He just happens to
awesome.
Be an irradiated animate skeleton.
He just gets excited because he's going to live forever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he has the half life of plutonium now.
What was his name again?
Harry Daglian.
Harry Daglian. Okay.
Because I
know JD's a historian. He loves all this history.
Oh, well, no, I've seen, like I said, well, some of it I know. Some of it I've seen Fat Man and Little Boy, and a lot of the character that John Cusack plays in that film, basically the very similar thing happens to that character. So I was trying to see if that matched.
Well,
it was a
real thing that happened.
It is, but there's a different guy with a different name that happened to as well. So I'm wondering if the several people died in the same accident.
I know. I mean, this guy, it was an accident. He accidentally dropped a plutonium rod on something and boom. But, you know, and just as his Enrico Fermi, who we know nothing about thus far, save for what a new edition at the end of the issue is a cast page. And we saw Fermi in the previous issue briefly as well. And it's just noted here that he's not human. So we'll come back to that in a future issue, presumably. But just as Fermi is feeding him plutonium, he just makes the remark that even though you now have a half-life of over 24,000 years, that's nothing in the face of forever. It won't even outlast the calcium in your bones. Everything ends. Which is punctuated by the news that FDR has died. Mm. And so the Secret Service go and grab Truman out of a particularly overblown Freemasons meeting with robes and giant crazy headdresses and everything to go and swear him in as president. So while he's sworn in as president, and then he meets with Robert Oppenheimer as we the reader know, it's really his evil twin brother Joseph who's eaten him and taken his place. They talk about via phone link. Groves dials in to discuss nuclear weapons. What the Manhattan Project is really doing. You know what their primary objective is. And the final scenes of the issue play out. Truman refuses to let them drop the bomb, and Groves says, "What's that? I couldn't quite make that out. We seem to have a bad connection. You sure, Mr. President? Abort the mission, do you understand?" "I understand. No one exceeds the reach of the righteous. Burn them down." General Groves is responsible for dropping the bomb. Truman refused. And that's the climax of the issue. But playing out parallel to the final scene is like, if you didn't have enough reasons to read this book already, okay? FDR's corpse is wheeled into the Manhattan Project, and Daglian and the other scientists gather around it. They jam obscene-looking devices into his brain, and, you know, then a large, what's the thing? You know, an electric
probe?
Sphere. No, what do you... Van de Graaff generator.
Mm-hmm.
A large, glowing, you know, purple sphere. Yeah, they digitize FDR's brain. They saved FDR's brain and turn him into the world's first artificial intelligence, hooked up to a microphone and a ticker.
Nice. Wow.
Speaker, and he just punches out little papers, you know. "Mr. President, can you hear us?"
Mm-hmm.
"All we have to fear is ourselves." Bomb, drop, ka-chunk. FDRAI. Did you need more reasons?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Did you need more reason to be reading the book?
Wow.
FDRAI. That did it for me. You know, and this issue really prompted me to go off and try and read a little bit more about some of this scientists. And like, I understand now that Wernher von Braun has a giant cyborg arm, because when he was taken in by the Americans, he had suffered an arm injury in an auto accident recently. stuff like that. It's all themed around like what happened to these scientists in real life. But of course, it's outrageous as well, because like, the dates don't line up at all. I mean, Truman is literally only just signed in, and the bomb is dropped where that happened months apart in real life, you know. But it's in addition to just being like balls out crazy, it is actually making me want to broaden my knowledge a little bit as well, so that I get more out of it. And I'm definitely crediting it for that, because it's a rare thing that makes me go off and do that. And I'm still wondering about it. And this is the thing. It's kind of like I said with S.H.I.E.L.D., Hickman's S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. I'm not sure if there's a story or a direction here yet. Because you know, the first issue is about Oppenheimer. The second issue is about Von Braun. And this one feels like maybe it's the end of our opening act, because you get the cast page at the end, and it's like, yes, all the players are now assembled at this stage, and we will now go forward, because there will be repercussions from this. We do have more to learn about the scientists, but it feels like basically, with the exception of not knowing what the deal with Fermi is yet, all the pieces are in place, and whatever hell is going to be unleashed is, I mean, the closing epigraph here is from after Hiroshima, at the urging of General Groves and Director Oppenheimer, the FDR artificial intelligence established a shadow government of the United States.
Nice.
Oh God.
This is when FDR he'd just begun his like unprecedented fourth term, so I don't think it would be any problem at all to use robot FDR's brain to turn the important people in the government over to your side.
When I was reading this and they came to that part, I just kept on thinking, oh, so the heads in Futurama could be true.
Yeah, yes. I mean,
oh, wow.
I was just thinking Futurama heads when I was reading this. I'm like, okay, they had something going there.
The world's first artificial intelligence. Eleanor Roosevelt.
No, I go to Robot Chicken, and I'm just thinking about the Disney cyborg that they fed Cuban children to. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Manhattan Project continues to be, I think, progressively more insane with every issue. But it is taking shape as well in a way that I think S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't really. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s comparable because it's about a secret, you know, scientific organization that's running things. You know, and the high concepts are being flung out hard and fast. And that's what really hooked me on. It's funny that it wasn't what hooked me on Hickman's FF. You know, it was just the fact that I really felt that he got the characters in a way that several of the preceding writers just hadn't been getting them. But it was his high concepts that really grabbed me on S.H.I.E.L.D., and they're what have really grabbed me on the Manhattan Projects, and which have actually made me want to broaden my knowledge. And compared with Secret, for instance, where the high concept just didn't grab me at all, you know. So no, the Manhattan Project isn't moving from my pull list. And if you have any interest in World War II and these other sorts of things, this is not just some crazy fictionalized version of these scientists. It does have a curious amount of basis in what on the major events in their lives, and also, you know, FDR AI.
Yeah.
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 Basically. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
Cool. Very good. Oh, and I did hear, did I see Hickman post the other day that more S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming out? And
yeah, they keep saying that. There should only be two issues left to the current miniseries, and I think everyone pretty much presumed that was going to be the end of the story anyway, but hurry up.
So it hasn't finished yet? I mean, it's still...
Yeah, he tweeted the other day that it was like, I can't remember if it said 2 weeks or 2 months, but it's soon.
Because I want to read S.H.I.E.L.D., but I was waiting for it to get finished, and I didn't know if it ever finished.
Now there's two. It reached issue four. Nothing was ever late. That's the thing. Everything was always on time, and it reached issue four, and then it was just stopped. Huh. But then I think that was around the time.
He probably doesn't know how to end it, like he was just talking about. He's yeah. Crazy ideas. He's like, what crazy idea can I use for the end of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, the fourth issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. was the same story three times in the past, the present, and the future. So it was one issue chopped up into three with the same story each time, but one set in the past, one set in the present, and one set in the future. There are these little subtle differences between them because the characters have been, like, fractured through the prism of time in the pursuit of Nikola Tesla back to the dawn of time. Reed Richards and Tony Stark's dad teamed up with Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci to stop the evil Sir Isaac Newton from usurping the powers of Nostradamus.
I think I saw that episode of Star Trek Next Generation. All good things, I think. Yeah, that was it. Okay.
So read that.
Awesome.
It's also like that one episode of Voyager. All right.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that. All right, so let's talk about Saga then, shall we?
Let's.
I think we shall.
Yes, please.
So we skipped an issue of Saga, I think, didn't we?
Issue 2.
Yeah, we skipped issue 2, which was good. We just didn't talk about it. Do I want to run through this?
If you want.
Do it.
Okay. I'm not very good at it, but we'll go. So at the end... No.
So it turns out... The baby's actually Hitler. Oh, my God. Did you see that?
Not a dream.
It turns out it was a sled. Huh. Bruce Willis was a ghost with a sled. And she's a man. All right, so I've ruined 3 movies for you. Sweet. Anyway, so in the last issue, of course, things have not gone well for this family, as they have been sort of subjected to hell within the first few days of being a family. And I can't remember. Did he get shot, stabbed? They were in a fight. I can't remember.
They were in a fight with the Stalk.
Did the Stalk shoot him?
Obscenely, gorgeously designed Spider Woman, who is the who's on their trail. She's one of the mercenaries contracted to bring them in. And whenever the Will heard that she was on the case, he was like, "Fuck this, leave it to her." He knew she was bad news, but she has legged it because the horrors. The lurking evil supernatural monsters in the forests of this planet are coming out. Except it turns out they're the ghosts of a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah. So imagine if like half of like a high school was like killed and then turned into a ghost. That's basically this. And I
but
love
grotesque looking. They're like whatever killed them.
Well, and
it's not their fault.
The brilliance.
I'm just explaining what they look like. I mean, nothing against that. Well, that's kind
of
awesome.
Yeah, like the primary girl, you can see her intestines sort of hanging out below her body, and it's it is one of the and one of the girls has like part of her eye ripped off, and other kids have been shot and stuff. And I think what's become really fascinating about not only the visual way that this story is being told, but just the way the story is being told in general, is that you're finding things being juxtaposed that would normally be very, that initially may seem strange, and then they make perfect sense.
Yeah.
And you just buy it and go on.
The idea of a load of ghosts swanning into the series seems to just be like, what? That's not what this series was about after 2 issues. But, we find out in the space of a couple of panels that this is just the evolutionary path of this particular planet's race. After their material body dies, their spirit gets to hang around as a defender of the planet, Cleave.
Yeah, which is like, okay, I could buy that, sure. But that's what I mean. Like, you still have, like, these, like, people wear it with horns and stuff. It's something that initially you're like, what? Oh, okay, whatever. And you just accept it and move on. It just becomes part of, the story, the wings or whatever. And then you've got, of course, the 2-level story because you have the daughter who's sort of flashing back or, sort of telling the story.
Narrating the story
in retrospect. Yeah, and then you have the story happening real time. So, the part of the story that they explain again, we've already explained all this. Basically, she's going to try to save her husband's life, and one of the ghosts offers to help, but she has to. The only way that she can leave the planet is to be linked to a native, and then she can move around with them wherever they go. And, of course, I can't remember the woman's name now or the man's.
Alana. And Marco.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And
so Alana's like, well, Hazel. We're not. We're not native. And she's like, well, I wasn't really talking about you.
Yeah.
Then comes the next bit, which is probably my favorite part of this, which is just
Prince
awesome.
Prince Robot the Fourth.
Prince Robot the Fourth.
I love these things. I love them so much. I swear to God, as soon as Baron Robot the 23rd appeared in the first issue, was like, I don't care where else the series is going. I know I am on board for these TV-headed robots.
I want this to be a movie now, though, because it's just
great.
I know,
I was thinking that too. I'm like, this would be such a good movie.
God, I mean, this even a sci-fi, I would say. No, probably not a sci-fi. That would ruin it. But something like that. So anyway, there's the prisoner interrogation, which I love the sign, no photography. I don't know why that's necessary, but it's there nonetheless. And so Prince Robot the Fourth comes in to interrogate one of the prisoners because he's trying to get information.
I'm trying to imagine how these things speak. Do they talk like completely normal people, or is it sort of, do they have like Stephen Hawking voices or what? Because they have robot font, you know? They have slightly angular font, you know? My name's Prince Robot the Fourth.
I imagine it just being like slightly digital, almost like someone talking over the phone. You know what I mean? Like just slightly analog almost in that way.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the first things he does is shows him a picture of
Lana. I love that! With the up until now, their TV heads have just broadcast, like, occasionally disturbing imagery, like, where something has popped up in the back of their head or something, and it's flashed on their screen. But here he's like, what do you remember about this woman?
Shows her picture.
Her face just appears on his screen. That's brilliant.
Immediately, the guy immediately, this is like a rhino with two horns on top looking person.
I mean,
spits on his face, which he's starting to spit on the image. Of course, spits in his face, of which I love the response where he's like, I'll take that to me. He's like, okay, so that's sort of a yes. Moving on. And then he's got, like, the book, this romance novel that she's been reading. Yeah. D. Oswald Heist, A Nighttime Smoke.
Like trashy dime store. This is another example, like, of how, on the surface, the idea of this being like some far-flung sci-fi thing, with like on a planet of magic users as well, as two completely different worlds colliding, and the point where they meet in the middle is still the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from these ordinary teenagers with the big knit hat, hipster hats, and their slang, and the dollar store Mills and Boone novels. Like, it's so weird, but it works.
Yeah, and it's I think that's where I say it's like, it's easy to just accept bits of this story, because even though it's like, it's got that sci-fi element, there are so many things that are just contemporary and normal that you just sort of accept those other oddities almost without question in some ways. Maybe just a slight question, but still it just moves on. Like, I have totally accepted this world has TV-headed people in it.
Planet. You know, these are an entire different race, but these are one of the outsourced worlds. Fucking love them, though.
Yeah. And
as I say, this one really plays with the fact they have TVs for heads as part of, like, their culture and emotions, like, as he goes on with the interrogation here, and, you know, he just tries to get more and more information out of him, you know, and then the guy gets he accidentally lets some information slip out, you know, and he says, you must see Ned, you're there at Threshold None. I fought at the Threshold, yes, along with a lot of other brave soldiers. What does that have to do with Alana?
Nothing! I just, like, remember how much of you assheads we buried that day.
This is the best part.
Maybe the best bit of the issue, where it's like, rage overcomes him, and so his screen just goes static, and he goes...
He gets it a static screen.
His screen, it's like, oh, he's lost his shit, he flips the table.
Flips the table, that's the best, just like...
Transforms his arm into a gun.
Smashes the guy in the face, kicks him across the head, transforms him into a gun, and then the best line, which you have to do the end.
The MP outside says, what are you doing? Commencing my interview. Now be a dear and fuck the fuck off!
Loved it. I'm like, oh my god, this is brilliant.
Yes, I mean, I was, and it's like his screen turns into this swirling vortex.
God, fuck the fuck off.
Fuck off.
I have to use that line at some point.
In your next job interview.
Yeah, there you go. Use it in your next job interview. So, back on the ranch. Now, what Marco needs, he can cast a healing spell. He just needs snow. So they happen to be in the middle of, like, the jungle. So she's trekking up into this mountain in an attempt to find snow, which this girl ghost is just sort of following her along. And I think it's somewhere in here they have the conversation about, you know, how she became a ghost.
Yeah.
And of which is, again, here's another element where it takes it down into that real world, oh shit, and like you're not, you know, again, initially you'd be freaked out by a half girl with her guts falling out. And then you find out that, you know, she's just a native that accidentally...
Her name is Isabel. She has Isabel, first of all, yeah. She gets a name, so she suddenly becomes real.
She becomes real because, yeah, she's got the name Isabel. She looks like any other teenage kid you would see at school, just has really big ears. And what happened? She stepped on a bomb. She stepped on a mine. And, you know, and killed her. And you're like, oh, wow. And it's just like, it's just that element that totally took something that's very real and juxtaposed it with this thing that seems very foreign, and now that thing that's foreign becomes very real. Mm. And so it's like I said, it's brilliant in its way.
Just like in the same way that the series makes it very clear that nobody in this book is in the right. Marco's people aren't in the right. Alana's people aren't in the right. These are just two people caught up in a war between two groups of bad people who are just warring for war's sake. Don't even know whose landmine it was.
Yeah.
It's just war.
And that's
it's
not even...
War. It's about the effect of war on people, not the effect of war on nations and races and cultures, but like people. What war does to people.
Yeah, and like, I like
that. And children, even more than just people, but children.
I like that that's not revealed too, because I think that it does help to keep that sort of the balance in that way. Yeah. And you don't really take sides in the matter. You just know that it's really horrible. It's just awful. I mean, and that's, you know, the plain and simple of it. But yeah, so they go on deeper, and of course she's agreeing to help to find more snow, but of course she wants that link to the baby.
Yeah. We get a little sequence with the stalk and the wheel.
We get a stalk and the wheel, which is brilliant.
The lying cat.
I love the cat.
I love that in the first issue. Like the stalk is attacked by some of these hideous pig monsters in the forest, and she calls the wheel for help, and he gets his phone says, incoming call from the stalk. No way. I'm never picking up for that bitch again.
Lying.
He just gives the saddest look on his face.
The idea that the cat doesn't judge, it doesn't tell if anyone else is. There's no. He's just there to point out any and all lies.
Yes. I love this conversation too between them, where it's basically just a dispute over a previous job.
Yeah, well, it seems like they had a bit of a thing.
They had a bit of a thing at once as well. So.
Yeah, and it's like, good luck with your career. Fuck you, you self-righteous piece of bald. I hope Lion Cat has a massive shit on your stupid cape.
The telos of this is just awesome as well. Self-righteous piece of bald.
I think it's interesting that they had a relationship, and it's also kind of creepy.
Oh, massively, yeah. Spider legs. And
yeah, I don't know where that would be.
I don't know what's going on under there.
I don't know how you get to that stuff, but anyway. Okay.
Madness.
So, yeah. And then, basically at the end here, there's just we're really close to the end bit here, but... I don't even know if I want to give away this last little bit because that's
no, just... that's a bit too much of a yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, needless to say, she finally agrees to let the girl link herself to the baby so that they can be saved. And this line is interesting.
Yeah, I was just thinking it. Yeah,
because she links and she says, "Isabel was my first."
Rich kids get nannies, but the rest of us have babysitters. Isabel was my first. And I'm like, oh, shit. It's not going to end well for Isabel.
Yeah, and so that's like, yeah.
Because, I mean, this comes a page after, you know, Alana says, will it hurt my girl? And she says, only on the day it ends. Which implies, you know, that whenever Alana dies, that's when the bond will end. And it's like, oh. you give me a little bit. It was a nice, positive, sweet thing, and then you were just like, no, we can't have sweet. Get away.
No.
She's gonna die.
Well, that's what this... I mean, every single issue of Saga, that's what's happened. Aw, nope.
Nope. So they load Marco into the boat, and then something else happens we won't talk about. So this is great. I'm going to leave that. But man, I mean, like I said, it's just like, there are so many things that are just contemporary that feel natural, you know, that feel like things that you know. And it's like, that's the trick. It's like, if you can take things that are concrete, that you can identify with, and you can put it then with the weirdest shit you can think of. And as long as you can put those two elements together, I think it works. You know, like there are notionally
at least three worlds at play here. You've got your techno users and your TV
magic
head robots. You've got your fantasy things with your with Marco's magic using Reyes and fantasy creatures like the Stalk and these other monsters and the ghost children. And then you've got, you know, cell phones and dime store trash novels and knit hats and everything. And they are smashing together to very much create a fourth world that this comic exists in. Like, this does not, that's the funny thing. It doesn't feel like a piecemeal world where all these bits of different ideas are sitting together inappropriately or clumsily at all. It's totally its own thing. But it's and yet somehow still manages to feel, by making its characters feel very real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that argument they have in the first issue about whatever the, you know, I forget what, wing bleeding or something, which was, you know, whatever the whatever her race is called, the equivalent of circumcision. You know,
they have
these tribal religious things. You know what else is great? 4-page letters, Paige. I like that.
I like
to see people are responding and sending in real letters.
Heck yeah.
And the art is continues to be gorgeous.
Oh, God. It's amazing.
The art is almost as, maybe even as good as the writing, because they just work so well together. It's beautiful.
It's an integral part.
Remember, this is art by, she has penciled, inked, and colored this all herself, Fiona Staples. There's no separate credits for anything else. This is all her. And the purity of one artist's vision is coming across beautifully in it as well.
I just love that the ghosts are red, because, like, you don't usually see that, like, kind of like reddish ink color for a ghost. When you think ghost, you think what, kind of like, you know, kind of like a darker kind of like,
or even
light
just transparent
color,
the idea is that these things were these horrible, terrible beasts of the darkness, and it's like red, yes, red, dangerous, evil, scary. Oh wait, teenagers.
Yeah,
you know, that's
which is a whole different kind of danger, scary, hard.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
This is just great. I mean, really, you should be reading this if you're not.
The best new thing the best new thing since Daredevil.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be like my pick for like best new series of 2012.
Something
really gonna have to come along and blow my head off.
Yeah,
off top spot when we get to the end of the year.
Yeah, but for almost. Halfway through.
That's crazy.
I know.
Insane. So anyways, check out Saga. Read it if you haven't. Make sure you get the first two issues and check it out, because it's good stuff.
They keep reprinting them, though.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're getting reprints and stuff.
Issue one of Saga is up to its fourth printing.
God. And bravo to that. I mean,
I've managed to get any copies of it.
Wow.
I'm still trying. I'm trying repeatedly, but it always seems to get to be sold out before my orders for it manage to get processed with every new printing.
Well, they are day and date with Comixology, because that's how I got the first issue.
Get it digitally.
Which is awesome.
So, cool deal. So check it out. Definitely get your copies of Saga. It's good. It's very good. As is a lot of the stuff that we review, because we typically review good stuff. Or we try to. So, awesome. Cool.
Try to.
All right. Anything else before you go? Anything good that's coming out this week?
Well, I guess I did a bad one last week.
Yeah.
Hold 2 minutes.
Yeah. What did you do last week?
Night of a Thousand Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
It's
just like the t-shirt. Moon. Oh. No? Okay. So, all right. What's good? What's coming out this week? Anything good?
It's quite a small week this week for me. What am I going to do? Robots in Disguise is out. Thor's out. Next Spidey's out.
Oh, okay, good. Yep.
Um, What else is it? Journey into Mystery, so of course, because we haven't been talking about it, but Journey into Mystery is having this nifty little crossover with New Mutants this month. So,
Did you read the New Mutants?
I've got to get caught up on Journey.
Oh, you have to get it. This is not. You can't skip these. You got to get it. Yeah, you got to get
Journey,
all.
But I don't have it.
Did you get the Exiled one shot in the first week of the month?
I did get that. I think
you got to get that too. It's a five-part story, Journey and New Mutants double ship this month, so each one is on alternating weeks, and then in the first week of the month there was a one-shot called
Can I get that on Comixology? Is that on Comixology?
I don't know, but perhaps.
Probably, maybe. So, cool.
I hope so.
All right. Cool. Well, there you go. That's our show, Fanboy Versus. Go to fanboyversus.com to get all the stuff on the show, including our post for the drinking game, because you should be playing that, because that's fun, but drink
and you
responsibly.
You should be, like, drunk by now.
And if you did, then you would probably be toast at this point, as does happen to people that try to play that game. You can also join us live Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. GMT Time, if you would like to join us live. We don't have a huge live following anymore, so we would like to have more people come in and join us live, because we always like to get live input when we can. Also, follow us on Twitter, Fanboy Versus, or Fanboy VS, I guess, would be at Fanboy VS. So there you go. 102nd episode done, ladies and gentlemen.
Boom.
Woo!
Boom.
Nice.
There it is. So if you haven't yet and you were missing out, I know there was an issue. I'll go ahead and address this right now. Apparently, we had an issue with some of our RSS distribution that we were not completely aware of. So big shout out to Tony for continuing to hammer away at us that it was not working. And we finally got with our provider and figured out the problem. That is fixed now. So if you haven't, go check out our past shows, and in particular that 100th episode. It was huge. You should watch that video. It was a lot of fun.
It was awesome.
So we had a good time doing that. So anyway, there's the show. Memorial Day weekend is next weekend, at least for those of us in the States. I don't know if that's international or not.
They have,
anyway.
Their own little separate bank holidays.
So, yes. So anyway, enjoy that. Have fun. And please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy Versus.
This has been Fanboy Versus. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.